हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 77, chapter 22, enumeration of the elements of material creation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the statement of verse 4, that elements are included in other elements, is explained further in two verses. Because the elements enter each other, they may be counted in their previous or latter condition. Some say that the effects are in the cause, so they count the cause. The previous elements. Others say that the cause is in the effect, so they count the effect. The latter elements, right? So that's how you get the difference, depending on which one they're emphasizing. Because if you want to bring out the effect, then you'll count the cause already within. If you want to bring out the cause, then you'll count the effect already there. Right? There will thus be either less or more elements in counting. Power va parya Prashankyanam is a dvandva compound in the singular. Why do we have to speak of entering into causes or effects? Why have less or more elements? They have various opinions according to their desire to speak. According to the desire to speak. How much they want to talk is then how much they include. So I guess if you want to talk more, you have more elements, right? You know, talk less, you have less elements.
Like here, cause and effect. Krishna is the ultimate cause,
right,
and everything is the effect.
Right, right.
So when you're preaching to people, so there are two ways of approaching. Either begin from Krishna and then come down to their level, or start from there and raise them up to Krishna. So which one is long-lasting?
But the point is if you start with them, are you sure you're going to get up to Krishna? Why should they want to get to Krishna? You're already talking about them, so the ultimate goal has been attained.
But we will introduce Krishna, like, in our discussion.
We'll but when? Connected to what?
Connected to their, what they are, like, somebody is looking for adventure. They're valuing adventure. So we accept that, and then we take it forward that...
Like, so you tell them to come to the temple in the morning when the brahmacharis are getting ready for Mangalarti.
Yeah.
So that's the adventure, because... It takes 20 minutes, but they got up 10 minutes before Mangalarti, and so then for to see them running
excitement.
Around, and that's excitement.
They break the record also, 5 minutes.
I think the maximum I did was 10.
There was one brahmachari at Bhaktivedanta Manor who excelled at putting on tilak while in the shower. So he would come out of the shower stall wearing full tilak. It was like,
what about nobody else? What about drying off?
Again,
he does it so fast, it just dries the.
Yeah, it was
so I've done in 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
That's
impressive.
That can't be thorough.
That's impressive. Yes. It means, what you're doing is presenting Krishna in a context that they in their position can relate to. That's what you have to do. So whether you start here or there, it doesn't matter. But that's what you're working with. It's not that you're doing this, then you're doing that. It's one thing. You're presenting Krishna, and you're presenting it to their nature. Now, if you have to start more with their nature or more with Krishna, that you have to see, because every individual, every situation is different. Because if you start with themselves, there may be too many issues. So you start with Krishna. Then once they've accepted something, then you start to make it practical for them, then the issues are less. Right? But if they're accepting, you know, that concept of Krishna, then you can make it very practical for them, get into details. says, yeah, it's not this or that. Okay? It's not, Krishna is one. Okay? Yeah. Hmm. Seem to have this morning's problem. Maybe it's just a, how you say, because of the cold and the guy at the electric office, he can't move his hand so quickly, so they turn it on, then he can't, he just can't get it back on, you know, it's too cold. The effects reside in subtle form within the causal elements, just as the pot is potential in a lump of clay. The causal elements reside in the effect, the latter elements following after them, just as clay is present in the pot. So it's just what you want to bring out. If you want to bring out more of the aspect of the clay, the cause and all that, then you'll do it that way. If you're doing the other way, so that's why then we just work with what has been given to us. So Prabhupada always talks about the 24 elements, that's what we use. So then when you're taking it up to 28, it just means you're taking those and generally adding more. Right? Then you don't have to worry about it. But sometimes you see, depending on how they do it, something will be absorbed in another thing in them. Krishna continued, because a person who has been covered by ignorance since time immemorial is not capable of affecting his own self-realization, there must be some other personality who is in factual knowledge of the absolute truth and can impart this knowledge to him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Uddhava says, I accept that there is different counting because of the inclusion of elements within others. Right? Because, you know, when we were showing before, we just show that something's already in something else. Because you know the 24 elements, so that's how you can tell, and you know what their natures are, that's how you can tell what the list is. Because we know 24, that way we can understand what they're meaning when they say there's 16, or there's 9, or there's whatever it is. You know, or there's more. Because sometimes they even count all the, what do you call those elements? When Brahma, when he first, before he started creation, he created those ones, fear of death, illusion. Mm. There was,
Smita.
Yeah, there were some ones that he created first.
Five. Abhinivesh and Moha. And Andhatams, Mahamoha.
Okay, so he created those. Then, so some count those as part of. So you get some lists up to 33 or more, right? Then. It's just how many things they want to just show. You know, so that's why we're comfortable with the 24, right? You know, it's not too condensed that we know where everything, and it's not too expanded that then you start getting confused. Right? Uddhava says, I accept that there is different counting because of the inclusion of elements within others. How can some claim that Jiva and the Lord are different, maintaining that there are 26 elements, by substituting Prakriti for the three gunas, which make 28 elements? Right? The Lord replies, because it is not possible for the Jiva, whether covered by avidya or not, to have knowledge of Atma on his own. There must exist a separate Supreme Lord. This is the Vaishnava philosophy. Right? Because you're saying cause and effect. If one's in the other, why do you, you know, you just say Jiva, you don't have to mention the Lord not Jiva. And so he's pointing out, no, but the Jiva, because of his conditioning here, he can't know self-realization without coming in contact with someone who's in touch with Krishna. That's the whole point. Without the parampara, without that chit potency, you cannot get self-realization. Therefore, then you count them both, if you're counting them in there. Because we count 24 material elements, we don't count. Because this one they're counting is that it means it's not material elements, it's elements of the material phenomena. Right? Because without the Lord, without the Jivas, without these things aren't happening. Not that they're material. Does that make sense? So the elements are 24. And then if you're looking at it, Pradhan can be either Pradhan or it can be the three modes. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Just because you want to bring out as Pradhan the important element is the three modes. So, Sri Krishna continued, according to knowledge in the material mode of goodness, there is no qualitative difference between the living entity and the Supreme Controller. The imagination of qualitative difference between them is useless speculation. Right? Quantitative, yes. Qualitative, no. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Uddhava asks, how then can some also claim that there are 25 elements? That would mean the Jiva and the Lord are counted as one. Right? Because you're counting beyond the 24. That's how you're counting. You're getting more. Right? Unless you're counting Pradhan and counting the three. Then you're getting that way. Does that make sense? So you have the Jiva, the Lord. So that's 24. That means then instead of Pradhan, right, you take that out, you replace it with the 3. So then that 23, you get 26, then the Jiva and the Lord. That would mean the Jiva and the Lord are counted as one. Though the Jiva and Paramatma are different, as is said in the previous verse, they are also not different. They have little difference, since they are both spiritual and they both possess powers. Because they have little difference, they are considered one. Therefore, the idea that the Jiva is extremely difficult, different from the Supreme Lord, is useless. Uddhava says, but this duality cannot be dissolved except by knowledge which is not attained by the Lord. But this duality cannot be dissolved except by knowledge which is not attained by the Lord's mercy. The Lord replies, but knowledge is included in the material gunas, since it is sattva guna in quality. Thus it is also useless. Right? So then knowledge, because we may say, well, knowledge is important, but that's included in the mode of goodness. Because that's the basis of it. It gives knowledge. It's enlightening. Right? Passion then will be desires, and then ignorance will just be, you know, not a lot happening.
The material elements, mind, the five senses, and jara come from Pradhan. They're separated from Pradhan when Lord
blesses.
So why Pradhan is also counted separately?
Because of the three modes.
We're not able to get particular out of the three modes separate from
Pradhan is the equilibrium balance of the three modes. When all the three modes are in perfect balance, you have Pradhan. Mm-hmm. When that's agitated by the Lord's glance, then it separates into all the elements, the 24 elements. But it's doing that through the modes of nature. Right? So the workings of the material world, the management is through the three modes. Like that. So when you say Pradhan, it means the modes. And if you want to bring that out, you don't say Pradhan, you say the modes.
And when they have separated, that time also Pradhan also exists unmanifestedly.
What's the point?
Point is, like, many times confusion comes in the, like, Pradhan and Prakriti are there. What is being referred to?
What's Prakriti and Pradhan are the same. Sri Krishna continued, nature exists originally as the equilibrium of the three material modes, which pertain only to nature, not to the transcendental spirit soul. These modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are the effective causes of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. Right? Does that make sense? So passion creates goodness, maintains ignorance, destroys. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Uddhava says, but it is well known that jnana is the nature of the jiva. Why do you say that it arises from the gunas or prakriti? The jiva performs action and has ignorance. The knowledge, action, and ignorance belong to the jiva, not to prakriti or to the Lord. These items should be included in the jiva, otherwise the number of elements will increase. The Lord replies, prakriti is the equilibrium of the gunas. The gunas belong to prakriti, not to the jiva. These gunas are the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. It would be contrary to say that the jiva is the shelter of creation and destruction. Because right? you shift the meaning. Mm-hmm. He performs action, he performs ignorance. He has ignorance, but where does the ignorance come from? From the mode of ignorance. Where is the action? From the mode of passion. Mm-hmm. Where does knowledge come from? From goodness. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it has to be, because when you get knowledge of the Lord, that's coming from pure goodness. It's not coming from here. Mm-hmm. So that means, and the jiva is not from here, so that means whatever knowledge you would have here has to be from the mode of goodness. It has to be from the mature world. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So the doubt here is that you're actually looking at it from the vantage point of false ego, that the jiva is the doer.
Yes. That's how all these things come up, is that because ultimately, no matter what is being discussed, unless one has come in contact with the transcendental nature, then one won't notice the principle of I and mine. You know, you may try to get rid of it, but the point is it's yours to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, it's mine. Yeah.
Scarily accurate.
Yeah, don't, yeah, don't mess with my I and mine, you know. You want to merge in the void, they take yours with you. Mine's staying here.
Like, it's mentioned in the Paramatma Sandarbha about Bahiranga Shakti, the Mahamaya has Vidya Shakti and Avidya Shakti.
So Mahamaya.
Mahamaya.
Okay.
Knowledge and ignorance. So ignorance is what pushes you down more and more.
Okay.
And by Vidya Shakti, all what you can get is, you get to a stage where you can see the door of transcendental Vidya Shakti. The Vidya Shakti of the knowledge Shakti of the Chit Shakti, basically.
Okay. Of Yogamaya.
Of Yogamaya. So this is only useful to help you to see.
See the door.
He puts it that way.
Okay, that's nice.
It's kind of like we were talking recently about how the advanced devotees, they want to get rid of the pious results as well.
Yes.
Like only the advanced devotees.
Yeah, because you want to go through the door.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't fit through the door if you have all your pious activities with you. They won't fit through the door.
Right. Many analogies about the knowledge is like the fire, and then after it burns everything a little bit.
Yeah, then it's, it's when it goes to ashes, the fire goes out. That's what Krishna says. When you come up to that platform, then that knowledge is then given to Krishna. You don't use that anymore. Right, so we're using it just to get out of the material world. But if you're already absorbed in Krishna, it's not necessary. Right? Like that. You know, or the moments where you are, you don't have to get all analytical. And then the moments you're not, that's when you get analytical. You know, if you're absorbed in the kirtan, no need to, you know, break out 11th canto Bhagavatam. Right? You know? But if you're not, then it could be an advantage. Except, Sri Krishna continued, in this world the mode of goodness is recognized as knowledge, the mode of passion as fruit of work, and the mode of darkness as ignorance. Time is perceived as the agitated interaction of the material modes, and the totality of functional propensity is embodied by the primeval sutra, or Mahatattva. Totality of functional propensity, right? Because the Mahatattva means all the propensities that are there, all the species, all the planetary systems, whatever can happen. That's Mahatattva. Right? That's the primary creation. Then when Brahma creates, then we apply this, whatever part of the totality of functional propensity is there in us. Is that, and then we get entangled. Right? So that's why Mahatattva is mentioned separately. Because the modes are going to make it work, but that propensity for the functional propensity, that's in Mahatattva. Right? The primeval sutra. You know, not what's then after when Brahma creates. Right? So this sutra then means this functional propensity. Does that make sense? Right, and so it's the Mahatattva, all the tattvas together. Right? And then you go, oh, it's Maha. So we depends whose Maha you're looking for.
Well, this functional propensity is the false ego invest. False ego. Mahatattva, you were telling that will not invest.
Yeah, it means the false ego is there, but it's to apply that false ego. And then all the opportunities for application, that is there in the Mahatattva. Right? But when you're looking at just the false ego, that's the glance. But at this point here, this is where you'll see it's manifest, because then you have means manifest in the primeval state, because then you have the Atmagati, Daivika, and Adibodhik forms of false ego. Right? So there's you as the doer, there's what you're applying your efforts towards, and then there's the potency of the devatas that then control that. So all that will be in sutra. Yeah? Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Where does this lead? Jnana is sattva, since it arises from sattva. Action is rajas, and ignorance is tamas. Right? So they arise from there. Right? So that's why we're saying they're material. They appear in the jiva as impositions only. Thus they are counted as prakriti only. Right? So they're not actually there. So like in Prabhupada in the Hare Krishna address, he mentions that Krishna consciousness is not an imposition on the mind, because the modes of nature are an imposition. Right? That. Time and svabhava have been left out. Where do they belong? Okay, then. That which produces the agitation of the gunas, the Supreme Lord, is called time or kala. Because right? When the gunas are agitated, because of the agitation, now they interact. Otherwise, they're just in a harmonious balance. But with the Lord's glance, then they become agitated, so now they start to function. Right? Do things. And so that's time. Because when something is accomplished, it happens over time.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a lot different than what we're used to. We measure time, but time is that agitation of the modes in which we then, apply ourselves, due to that imposition, and want to accomplish things. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, the quantumists aren't going to come up with that one.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely not.
Applying ourselves means we are separated from Krishna.
Yes, yes. Because when we act in connection with Krishna, we're not under the modes. We're not actually under time.
There is no time.
Yeah, because it's eternal. Because when it works under time, the effect of it will also happen within time. But since we're acting beyond time, then, it means here you can still measure the time, if that's what you just have to do.
Go to the dons or do that.
Yeah, come here. Yeah. So, okay. So, that which produces the agitation of the gunas, the Supreme Lord, is called time or kala. Svabhava, the change caused by action, is called Mahatattva, Sutram. Since Mahatattva possesses all powers, footnote 24, Sutra possesses Kriya Shakti, the cause of action. Right? So that means it's actually the field. So it has to have all the elements. What did Krishna say? Possesses all powers. So whatever it is, it's all there. Right? Then you have that knowledge, which means you have an identity. To function that field, then you have knowledge and identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Does that make sense? So therefore you act within that field. And then what's the purpose of that? To please Krishna. Then it's spiritual. If it's to please yourself, then it's here. So it still has Kriya Shakti. Right? Because nothing here can function without the spiritual Shaktis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just made to look like it's real. It's like the Truman Show or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Huh? Yeah. Thus, kala is included in the Lord and svabhava is included in Mahatattva. Right? Because you say, well, what about the nature of the jiva? He's got his svabhava. But that comes from the field of action, right? So from Mahatattva, from Sutra, because that was the totality of functional propensity. So that means all the natures are already included there. So you don't have to include it separate, because the main point is that the jiva is just the jiva. And all these other elements, their material nature, and the Lord is the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So you have the Lord, the jiva, and the material energy.
So the material energy presents a certain amount of different quote-unquote identities, but they don't actually belong to the jiva. It's just...
Yes. Yeah. It's just, it's like a drama.
Yeah. It's, you know, certain costumes.
Yeah, certain costumes. It's just like, let's say if you're going to have a drama, then you put the news out that it's going to be there, and then there's tryouts. Yeah. And people come, and they want to do a particular part. So that's the thing, is by your karma, you want to play a particular role. You know, and if everybody else agrees with, you know, how you're doing it, then it's great. And if not, then somehow or another, you're still okay. They're the bad actors. You know, you don't like the set, you don't like the floor, the floor is crooked, you know, like that. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just the timing's off and all that, and, you know.
Yeah. The jiva is pure jiva, and in contact with the sutra, the swabha of the jiva is actually in position by the mahatma. Right?
Everything's in imposition. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're here in the material world, it's all in imposition. Mm.
Right. So we are in imposition on the material world?
No, it's an imposition on us. It's dead matter. It doesn't care. That's why we're given here, because we could say is we're an imposition on the spiritual world. So therefore, we're given the material world to function in. Doesn't come out sounding quite as good. Yeah, not quite as glorious. You know.
A few days ago, one devotee, he asked me, so when we play in those roles and we experience certain emotions and feelings, and so what is the soul's experience? What's the jiva experience when it's all happening?
What is he experiencing?
Yeah, what is there any like experience for the jiva?
I mean, is he having an experience?
Yeah.
But don't they notice that there's an experience?
Yeah, but is it external or internal? Is it connected to the jiva itself?
The let's try an example. Someone's watching a drama.
Yeah.
Are there no transformations in their feelings and, you know, physical condition and all that, if it's a good drama?
Yeah.
Or a bad drama, right? You know, they're sitting there and you have to looking around for the air sickness bag, but then they forget that they're in a theater instead of on an airplane and stuff.
Wishing they had bad tomatoes with them.
Yeah. Where are the tomatoes when you need them, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's there because you identify with it. You agree to be involved. Like, you agree to walk into the theater. It's not that you're walking down the street. You know, these guys out there with mystic yoga, and they pull you in, and next thing you know, you're sitting there in the theater. You know what I'm saying? You agree to go into that. You want to have that experience. Therefore, you go, you take part, you have the experience. But the point is that experience you'll get from this will not compare to the actual spiritual experience when you have real relationships. Because otherwise here, it's all a part of a drama. Because it's not connected with the soul. The soul wants to experience these things, so the material nature arranges and puts them into the position that would fit there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, which movie to go to or which show to go to. You know, then there may be someone there who gives directions or that, or, you know, you need a guru, you know, tell you which show to go to. Right?
Yeah.
And then you have the guy in the back who's not saying a whole lot that says, well, actually, the show's not in here, it's outside. Socrates mentioned that, but it didn't
catch on.
It was not good for his health. detrimental to his health. Yeah. But he did get out, so then, you know, it worked out. You know. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then what was it? Then Aristotle, then he was all in.
He was more more accommodating.
He was, what do you call it? Yeah. He felt he had a good hand. Okay, is that okay? Yep. Means they are having it. Because they're worried that, am I having this experience? Is it real? Yeah, you're having the experience, but it doesn't mean it's real. It means that you're experiencing something that's actually happening, but what you're experiencing, if that is real or not, since when does that matter? Hmm. You know what I'm saying? People say, no, I want real. It says, do they? It's just like, it's so funny sometimes the critics, they're giving some critique on some entertainment, some experience that they have, and stuff. Oh, it's not real. And what do you mean? It's already a presentation of illusion, but they want a more real experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But that's the whole point. That's how much we're dealing with. The soul's none of these things. They're not the body and all that. But these things exist, and there are, the various Lord's potencies that produce the particular interactions and results. And so that is real. That is there. The mechanics is there. Just like there is a guy backstage with the lights and the sound and doing all that, and people raising and lowering curtains and people changing outfits and, all that's going on. But the point, so that's real, but you can't say that King Lear is real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So that's the difficulty, is that we have to switch from what's here to what is actually real. And you deal with the reality through the medium of this here, which is according to that perspective, not real. So we're not this body, but according to the nature of the body, we engage, because it's swabhava. It comes from the mahatattva. Right? These are all there. So since all those natures are there, we engage that nature in Krishna's service that we happen to have, because we can't engage another one. Does that make sense? Okay. Thus, kala is included in the Lord, and swabhava is included in mahatattva. All authorities agree that the elements should not be increased to include knowledge, action, ignorance, time, and swabhava. Right? So generally you see is that they have that, and then they go down from there. You generally don't see the numbers he was giving were above there. Right? Sri Krishna continued, I have described the nine basic elements as the enjoying soul, nature's primeval manifestation of the mahatattva. Right? So that nature would be the pradhan, right? False ego, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Right? No, nature. Nature's primeval mahatattva, 2, false ego, 3, ether, 4, air, 5, fire, 6, water, 7, earth, 8, and the enjoying soul is 9. Right, because when you have the ether, fire, ether, air, water, fire, and earth, from that you get all the other aspects.
Senses.
Yeah, the senses, sense objects, like this. So that way you end up with 20. Out of these five have all their expansions. You'll end up 20. All the working senses, knowledge, inquiring senses, everything come out of these. And then false ego. That's why we're here in the first place, right? Like that. Then mahatattva is everything that all that's based on. Then the nature, which are the modes, and then the enjoying soul, which is enjoying his time under the modes, controlled by the modes within the context of the mahatattva or the, what do you call it? Total functionality of, of propensity, and then in contact with this, the Pancha Mahabhutas, yes, and their enjoying friends.
Enjoying soul is more a description of a mentality than a quality of life.
Yes, yes. It means he wants to enjoy. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't mean he is enjoying. No, no. Just that because he's called the enjoying because that's what he's trying to do.
That's
his identity.
Yes.
Right? Hearing, touch, sight, smell, and taste are the five knowledge acquiring senses. Right? Because those come from these others. Right? From ether you get hearing, from air you get touch, from fire you get sight, from water you get taste, and from earth you get smell. So that makes the senses also, you know, that are doing this. My dear Uddhava, the speech, the hands, the genitals, the anus, and the legs constitute five working senses. The mind belongs to both these categories, right? Because the mind is the one that's controlling them. So then if you have them, they don't function without the mind. And the mind doesn't function without them. So this is the way the cause and effect, and they can be merged into each other. Sound, touch, taste, smell, and form are the objects of the knowledge-acquiring senses. And movement, speech, excretion, and manufacture are functions of the working senses. Manufacture. That's a... Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. First, the 25... completely changes the whole time. Manufacturer. Yeah, you go down to the beach. Wow, these guys are really into manufacturing. Yeah, it completely changes the whole
thing.
Yeah, but that's the fun part, is that looking at it from the analytical point, it's just that Krishna is describing. You heard that last part? He's describing all the senses and how everything's coming from the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then he mentioned about the knowledge acquiring senses coming from there, you know. But then he also ends with the working senses. And when it came to the genitals, then their what do you call it?
Function.
Their function is manufacturing.
loses a little bit from there.
Yeah, it loses some of the romantic element there. Yeah, what is quality?
Production was bad enough, but now.
Yeah, production. Now manufacturing.
Krishna says that our bodies are machines.
Yes, yes.
So that
way it's manufacturing. Okay. You manufacture a machine, and this machine manufactures other machines. Okay. Yeah, I never thought of the body like a factory. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. First, the 25 elements are described in 2.5 verses, as Krishna listed them in the previous chapter. With five sense objects of the knowledge senses, the total of the previous list, 25. One may ask, but are not the five functions of the working senses also additional elements? The answer is no. Movement, speaking, urinating, defecating, ejaculation, and manufacturing are the results of the action senses, but are not included as elements. Right? So they're the results. So you don't have to, because if they're there, that's what they do.
Like a verb rather than a noun.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Yeah, they're effects. So you don't have to manufacture it. Right? Because otherwise it's that the intellectual asset always wants to try to analyze in its own way. Right? Okay. So then here it's just being brought out that no, you don't have to analyze in these ways. Sri Krishna continued, in the beginning of creation, nature assumes, by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, its form is the embodiment of all subtle causes and gross manifestations within the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not enter the interaction of material manifestation, but merely glances upon nature. As the material elements, headed by the Mahatattva, are transformed, they receive their specific potencies from the glance of the Supreme Lord. And being amalgamated by the power of nature, they create the universal egg. Right? So just his glance has that potency that makes it all work. So through the glance, that's how he's entering but not entering. Because he enters through his glance, but he himself, who is glancing, does not enter. Right?
Yes.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Uddhava asked with what intention the sages have described the elements in various ways. Krishna shows the inclusion of their opinions. Karya refers to the 16 transformations, the 11 senses and the 5 gross elements. Karana refers to Mahatattva, Ahankara, and the 5 Tanmatras. Prakriti, taking these forms, assumes the position of creation and destruction by the gunas. Prakriti is the material cause, Upadana. The Lord who undergoes no transformation, the indirect cause, Nimitta, simply witnesses this. The Lord is different from Prakriti, which undergoes transformation. Right? So then by these, then they have their groups, their Karya, the Karana, and the Prakriti. And depending upon what it is, then you'll give that number. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sri Krishna continued. According to some philosophers, there are 7 elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, along with the conscious spirit and the Supreme Lord. Right? Because then with that, everything would be included. Right? Who is the basis of both the material elements and the ordinary spirit soul? According to this theory, the body, senses, life, air, and all material phenomena are produced from these 7 elements. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Considering the elements as 7, they are the 5 gross elements, the jiva, jnana, and the Lord. From the jiva and the 5 gross elements arise the body, senses, and life airs. In this analysis, the causal elements are included in the effects, such as ether. In the following texts, as well, the causal elements or products will be included in the given list. But, so they look here, they're taking the external ones, and the ones before that are already included. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. Other philosophers state that there are 6 elements. The 5 physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the 6th element, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Supreme Lord, endowed with the elements that he has brought forth from himself, creates this universe and then personally enters within it. Some philosophers propose the existence of 4 basic elements, of which 3, fire, water, and earth, emanate from the 4th, the self. Means the Supreme Lord. Right? So fire, water, and earth come from the Lord. Right? So then you only need 4. Right? Once existing, these elements produce the causing manifestation in which all material creation takes place. Right? So they'll just be simplifying it and doing... They have a particular purpose and angle from the philosophy that's absorbing them, and that by that they're advancing. So then they only require that much to make that much work. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maharaj, last one, 7, 6, and 4, it's more of from the effect you're seeing the cause. Like that?
Yeah, well, they're giving the Lord, which is the ultimate cause,
yeah,
and then you're giving...
Him,
yeah, then you're giving all the various effects that are there in the, you know, in the earth, water, fire, and like, it means whatever, yeah. So it's just a matter of which way you want to put them together. So there must be some reason for that. As you mentioned before, there's the Karya, Karana, Prakriti, it means Upadana, Nivita. So depending on which angle you're looking at, then you're going to do. Right? Because then you also have the element where you can say there's 3. There's the Lord, there's the Jiva, and the material energy.
Yes.
Like that. And then from that, everything is happening. You know, so...
But Maharaj, they all accept that there is a Lord.
Sorry?
They all accept that there is a Lord.
You have to, otherwise, if you don't, then you have to speak with Vyasadeva. He'll straighten you out. Because otherwise, yeah, it doesn't work so good without the Lord. What's okay. Some calculate the existence of 17 basic elements, namely the 5 gross elements, the 5 objects of perception, the 5 sensory organs, right? So that's the 15. The mind is the 16th, and the soul is the 17th. According to the calculation of 16 elements, the only difference from the previous theory is that the soul is identified with the mind, right? Because then they identify there. That's how they do. So you'll see the soul by the mind's action. Otherwise, the mind is dead matter. So it's only acting because the soul is there.
So it seems like in this 17, the Lord is not calculated.
That they'll probably count that with
the soul.
Because he's the origin of the soul. Like that. But as Krishna mentioned before, what was the one? Krishna brought that point up. Okay, Uddhava says, I accept that there is difference counting because of the inclusion of elements within others. How can some claim that Jiva and the Lord are different, maintaining that there are 26 elements, by substituting Prakriti for the three gunas, which made 28 elements? Right, because you take out Prakriti, so then you have one less, and add the three, so then you just get two more. Right? The Lord replies, because it is not possible that Jiva, whether covered by avidya or not, to have knowledge of Atma on his own, there must exist a separate Supreme Lord. That is Vaishnava philosophy. So generally, we'll always mention the Lord. But since they're just interested in you know, who's taking part in this, they may just include the Lord within the aspect of the Jiva. Right? But they don't give that prominence. We will.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. Okay, we're down here. If we think in terms of five physical elements, five senses, the mind, the individual soul, and the Supreme Lord, there are 13. Five physical, five senses, that's 10, the mind, 11, the individual soul, 12, and the Supreme Lord. There are 13 elements. Right. So that means if you count the five physical and the five senses and the mind, that way you get 9. I think I've seen that one. I think Brahma mentions that one. But counting 11, there are the soul, the gross elements, and the senses. Right, so 10 and then the soul, 11, because that will include the mind and all that. 8 gross and subtle elements plus the Supreme Lord would make 9. Okay, so that's another one. That's then that seems to be the 9 there. They don't use the soul, they use the Lord. Thus, great philosophers analyze the material elements in many different ways. All of their proposals are reasonable, since they are all presented with ample logic. Indeed, such philosophical brilliance is expected of the truly learned. Right? It all comes from him. He inspires them to think in these ways because of their interest to think in those ways. So it's not that any of them are wrong. They're all correct. You just have to understand what the elements are and how everything comes from each other. So as Krishna explained, why there's not more mentioned and how you can make less mentioned. So then Krishna's given the full system. Right? So next time it comes up in the class, why is this then? Now you know.
Now we can quote everything.
And now you can.
Maharaj, in the Gita, Krishna says that four people approach him. These are all the fourth jnanis, all these philosophers.
These are the four jnanis.
So the fourth group. Jnanis are the fourth group.
Fourth group. Okay, not that you were saying. I thought you were just talking about this time of year, and then you talked about the three sages, and they saw the star and going towards the east and all that kind of, no, the west. No, so you're saying there's four of them. We missed out. We thought there were three, but there was actually four. You don't know. Okay. No, jnanis means those who are the sages. They may be from those four or not. That's the categorization of those who surrender to him. Right? So there's going to be someone comes because of emotional, you know, they want a more peaceful existence, right? Then those who want a more, prosperous existence. Those who want a more intellectual existence. And then those who are grateful to the Lord and are willing to follow the rules and regulations in connection with the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what you mean. So it's not, it's a different list. They may be on that level of realization or not. That's not the discussion here. Verses 26-34. Purusha and Prakriti. Sri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them, because they are found residing within one another. Right? So just as you mentioned before, about one's in the other, so then, you know. Thus the soul appears to be within nature and nature within the soul. O lotus-eyed Krishna, O omniscient Lord, kindly cut this great doubt out of my heart with your own words, which exhibit your great skill in reasoning. From you alone the knowledge of the living beings arise, and by your potency that knowledge is stolen away. Indeed, no one but yourself can understand the real nature of your illusory potency. Right? So only he knows, and he reveals. So what he reveals is then what you know. But it's not, we don't have a system that we can figure it out. Right, because we're working with dead matter. What can we do? So the Lord's potency, his glance, is making it all work. Yes?
The similar question I asked previously about how senses and sense organs, how we can stop them from engaging as a soul.
It comes out.
Okay, yeah. Yes, yes. But that's the whole point, is that it's connected to the Lord. That's what solves the whole problem. So, the you know, they're looking at it from the mind. Here we're looking at the intellectual aspect, the logic of it. But once you connect it to the Lord, then it all makes sense. So that's what Uddhava's point. So without the Lord, you can't understand. Like these without this explanation, we would never understand all these different things. You have an idea that, okay, this is in here, that's there, but it's not so clear. Now Krishna's given it very clearly. What are the different systems? Because whatever he's listed, those are the systems. Like that. You know what I'm saying? If you have some other you know, idea, you know, like that, like, you know, Tesco, Dunkin' Donuts, and what do you call it? Dollar General or something, you know, then you have a problem. You're not in this list of these such philosophical brilliance expected of the truly learned. Right?
It's a different category.
Yeah, it's a different category. No? Now all you need is a pickup truck, right?
Banjo.
Now you're getting fancy. Okay, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Another doubt arises from this discussion. Prakriti or Maya and the Lord, Purusha, are intrinsically different, since Prakriti is unconscious and the Lord is conscious. Though this is shown in the scriptures, because the two depend on each other in the body, they do not appear different. That mutual dependence is described. The Lord is seen in the body, Prakritau, the product, and the product, the body, is seen in the Lord. Because both are based on each other, they are mutually dependent. Footnote 25. King Urhugana continued, my dear sir, you have said that designations like bodily fatness and thinness are not characteristics of the soul. That is incorrect. This is Rahugana speaking. Because designations like pain and pleasure are certainly felt by the soul, right? That was your previous point. You may put a pot of milk and rice within fire, and the milk and rice are automatically heated one after the other. Similarly, due to bodily pains and pleasures, the senses, mind, and soul are affected. The soul cannot be completely detached from this conditioning. Srila Prabhupada comments, this argument put forward by Maharaj Rahugana is correct from the practical point of view, but it arises from an attachment to the bodily conception. Right? So it's not that it's not practical, it's not logical, right? But the point is it comes from the attachment and bodily conception. Right? So that's where it comes. So just because it's logical doesn't mean that it's right on the transcendental platform. So that's why when you have various opinions are brought up in, in deference to the spiritual position or to the practices, then it's not that they, They may be logically presented, but it doesn't mean that they're actually correct on the ultimate platform. Maybe on the practical platform, yes. But when you're looking at something higher, then it's not. Does that make sense? I feel like before is that for on the level of consciousness, something is correct for one level, but for another level, it's not. So the problem is you can't take something from a lower level and claim that it's the correct thing for the higher level.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? It can be said that a person sitting in his car is certainly different from his car, but if there's damage to the car, the owner of the car, being overly attached to the car, feels pain. Actually, the damage done to the car has nothing to do with the car's proprietor, but because the proprietor has identified himself with the interest of the car, he feels pleasure and pain connected with it. This conditional state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn from the car. Then the proprietor would not feel pleasure or pain if the car is damaged or whatever. Similarly, the soul has nothing to do with the body and the senses, but due to ignorance, he identifies himself with the body, and he feels pleasure and pain due to bodily pleasure and pain. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:10:22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O best among men, material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. The manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature." Right, so the manifestation is going through all these because it's agitated. And then the enjoyer of that is distinct. You can tell that they're different, like Prabhupada said with the car. You can tell that there's a difference between the driver and the car.
Yes.
Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "There is extreme difference between them. The Prakriti undergoes change, takes various forms, is dependent, and is revealed by another. The Lord does not change, is one form, independent, and self-revealing." This is explained in four verses. The Lord is different from Prakriti, that is seen. The combination in the body, Sardaha, undergoes many changes, and its nature arises from agitation of the gunas. The agitation of the gunas means it is a transformation of Prakriti. The Lord, however, is only the witness without change. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear Uddhava, my material energy comprising three modes and acting through them manifests the varieties of creation along with varieties of consciousness for perceiving them." Right, so the consciousness means the Anamoy, Pranamoy, Manamoy, and Vijnanamoy. Right? "The manifest result of material transformation is understood in three aspects, adi-atmic, adi-daivic, and adi-bhautic. Sight, visible form, and reflected image of the sun within the aperture of the eye all work together to reveal one another. But the original sun standing in the sky is self-manifested." Right? It's not dependent upon us seeing it. Right? "Similarly, the Supreme Soul, the original cause of all entities, who is thus separate from all of them, acts by the illumination of his own transcendental experience as the ultimate source of manifestation of all mutually manifesting objects." Right? So he's the origin of all things that manifest from each other. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "An example of the three divisions is given. The eye is the adiatma. Form, the sense object, is adibhuta. A portion of the sun, deity of the eye, is adidaiva. They are mutually dependent. By the eye, form is understood. Without the eye, form cannot be perceived. Without the devata of the eye cannot function. Because of the eye functioning, one perceives form. In this way, the three are interdependent." Mm-hmm. Right, because each one is like that. Because of the eye, okay. "Paramatma is independent, however, like the sun which exists in the sky." Right, so you have the aspect of the sun there, and then how he's separate. So it's his potency that makes the Adi Daiva, but at the same time as he is separate. Right? So he's there in the body as Paramatma. From that, then the living entity is able to perceive all these things. At the same time, Krishna is independent of this. Paramatma is independent, however, like the sun which exists in the sky. Since Paramatma is the one cause, Adhyatma, of these three items, since it is different, apara, from them, and since it manifests the three items because he is self-manifesting. Thus, the Lord is different from Prakriti because he is independent, one alone, and the manifester of all other things. Sri Krishna continued. Similarly, the sense organs, namely the skin, ears, eyes, tongue, and nose, as well as the functions of the subtle body, namely conditioned consciousness, mind, intelligence, and false ego, can all be analyzed in terms of the threefold distinction of sense, object of perception, and presiding deity. Right? Because they'll all have these same features. Sense, object of perception, and the presiding deity. So everything will go back to this Adhyatmika, Daivika, and Adhibhauta.
Sense, eye, without the eye, we cannot see the form. But even if the eye is not functioning, the form exists.
The form exists.
So how they're interdependent? How the form is dependent on eye?
Because how do you see the form without the eye?
Means object to object, which we are seeing.
Yeah,
that exists without the eye also.
Yeah, but the point is unless it's seen, then how is there an interaction? You know what I'm saying? But unless there's a form, how do you see something? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is each one, without the eye, then you can't, the potency of the Adhidaivik isn't manifest. But without the Adhidaivik, then the eye can't see. Does that make sense? Right? And the Adhidaivik is so you can see the form. And the form is only perceived because of the potency of that Adhidaivik. So, so like that, that each one is connected to the other. But all these three, even though they're connected, the Lord, he's independent from all that.
Okay? He's above.
He's above, yes. So even though he's sitting in the body, he's unaffected by all these.
So Maharaj, the spirit soul is also no connection with the body.
No, but he identifies with it. So he comes under the control of the modes, yes. While the Lord doesn't.
Yes.
Those modes acting are actually acting from his glance.
Yes.
Yes. Right. So then why would he be...
Yes.
Yeah. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The three divisions shown for the eye also apply to the other senses. Just as for the eye there is group, there's the eye, form, and portion of the sun. For the skin, there is skin, touch, and deity of the air. For the ear, there is ear, sound, and deities of the directions. For the tongue, there is the tongue, taste, and varuna. For the nose, there is the nose, smell, and ashwini kumaras. Okay. For chitta, there is chitta, consciousness, and a portion of vasudeva. Yeah, so therefore you have the manifestation, the aspect of the chitta, which is connected with the mind. Right? So you get the polluted conscious. But there's a portion of Vasudeva, otherwise how he's the one that's fully conscious, so it's because there's a portion of him, that's why we're partially, we're conscious. We're not conscious of what he's conscious of, but we're conscious of what's enough for us to be conscious of.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The chitta means mind?
No, the chitta is the polluted consciousness. Mm-hmm.
So there is positive consciousness and portion of Vasudeva.
Yeah, because unless you're conscious, you can't have polluted consciousness.
Yes.
Right? But it's same, but without a portion of Vasudeva, who is consciousness, then how would you have this little bit of consciousness. Like Krishna, he sees, and because of that, a portion of that potency of seeing we can have.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yes. Chitta indicates intelligence, object of intelligence, and Brahma. Okay. Chitta also indicates mind, the objects of thought, and the moon deity. Chitta indicates intelligence, object of intellect, and Brahma. Chitta also indicates ahankara, object of identity, and Shiva. So you get all that. The other senses can be divided into three as well. Yes?
Is that name of Chitta Hari?
Nice.
It means, the word is in that consciousness.
Yes,
he's who provides the
consciousness. Yes. Yeah, because the chitta means if you're conscious, but it functions with the mind, with the intelligence, with the false ego. But there has to be that aspect of consciousness for it to function. Right? Without that portion of Vasudeva, you can't be conscious. But what are you conscious of? You're conscious of accepting and rejecting, seeing what's common and what's different, and, what is your specific identity based on, false, other, all the other elements of the other elements. Yeah. What kind of earth you identify with, what kind of water, what kind of fire. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. So that's consciousness is Vasudeva, chitta also the mind, then with the moon deity, intelligence is Brahma, and the ahankara is Shiva. Yeah, because Brahma comes from passion, intelligence comes from passion. Right. Yeah.
Quadruple expansions. Am I being explained?
Quadruple expansions.
Sankarshan Anurudha Pradhyumnadi.
He did mention moon deity, but Brahma and Shiva. I mean, if you want to take a Brahma, then you have Prajumna and then Shiva and that, but he didn't go take it that far. He was just describing the chitta. But yeah, those four functions of the chitta. That would also be the chattavibha. Sri Krishna continued. When the three modes of nature are agitated, the resultant transformation appears as the element false ego in three phases. When the three modes of nature are agitated, the resultant transformation appears as the element false ego in the three phases, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? Because you have to have that false ego for them to function. Otherwise, how are you controlled? Because if you have no false ego, you're not controlled by the modes.
Okay?
So that's why I also remember before that there was that point being brought up about how false ego comes afterwards. And because of that, then they had some funny philosophy based on that. I don't remember who that was. In Vedanta Sutra, then there was somebody pointing that out. Maybe it was the Shankya or somebody. That the false ego is coming after. Because it is from the agitation of the modes. Then you're getting the false ego in these three forms. Right? Goodness, passion, ignorance. Right, because it's not just goodness, it's goodness, it's a false ego in goodness. There's tamasa, taijasa, and vaikarika. Right, yeah. Generated from the mahatattva, which is itself produced from the unmanifest pradhan. This false ego becomes the cause of all material illusion and duality. Right, because if you don't have these, then there is no illusion and duality, material illusion. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Uddhava asks, is this material world true or false? This should be asked because it is difficult to determine from the great variety of opinions. Right? Because like we gave the example before of life being like the drama, then we'll ask, well, is it real? It's like this, it's as real as a drama is. Dramas exist. Right? Yeah. Okay, this is explained with examples in two verses. Ahamkara is an effect of the agitation of the gunas. Arises from mahatattva, which arises from prakriti. This takes three forms. Vaikarika, or Adidaiva, Sattva, Tamasa, or Adibhuta, Tamas, and Aindra, or Adhyatma, Rajas. This is a cause of differences. This is a cause of differences.
This is a cause of different views arising from ignorance.
This is a cause of differences.
Why
not different? This is the cause of differences.
Different.
That makes sense. Or this is the cause of different views arising from ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Or differences.
It means you've taken two things and put them into one. Then mm-hmm. It's cause of differences.
Giving many things.
This is the cause of
different views.
No, it's the different views, but it means he's just the differences between them.
You could put an in between differences. Differences in views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In works.
Mm-hmm.
The BBT purport states, the word moha, vikalpa, hetu, indicates that because of false ego, one considers himself to be the enjoyer of nature, and thus develops a false sense of material duality in terms of material happiness and distress. So the false ego, depending on what's there, he's the enjoyer of nature. And then the false identity and all the different aspects that come up, all the material duality, depending upon what kind of false ego he has, the combination of goodness, passion, or ignorance, then that's the particular way he wants to enjoy with the material nature. Okay, so it puts the jiva and the adiatma in the rajas. The adibhuta is okay, what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the tamas, okay. Sri Krishna continued. The speculative argument of philosophers, this world is real. No, it is not real. It's based upon incomplete knowledge of the Supreme Soul and is simply aimed at understanding material dualities. Right, because they're just trying to understand. Means in here is the you're saying is the drama real or not? Therefore, is my life real or not? Are we trying to understand the Lord here?
No.
So that's what Krishna is saying. It's based on incomplete knowledge of the Supreme Soul, and is simply aimed at understanding material qualities. So when those come up, the discussion is material. The question is material about material. So that's why then you have to bring in the Lord.
So we're trying to solve all our material problems and then deal with the Lord.
Yeah, so we think that there is a solution to material problems when there isn't. Although such arguments is useless, persons who have turned their attention away from me, their own true self, are unable to give it up. Right? Mm-hmm. Very tasty. Right? Just go on and on. That's the point of this mental spec. You can just go on arguing forever. Mm-hmm. You know, have a jolly good time. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One may claim learned persons who can destroy doubts can certainly determine the truth. But actually, no, they simply quarrel among themselves. Mm-hmm. Some maintain with proof that the world is real. Some proclaim that the world is false, attacking the first claim. They show a lack of knowledge of Paramatma, because Paramatma, understood only by realization, is because beyond logical argument. So since he's the one that creates it, maintains it, and destroys it, without understanding him, how can you understand what it is?
Yes.
A person fixed in a goal other than me, or a person who is fixed in defeating others' arguments, achieves no results, such as piety, sin, swarga, or hell. Although it is pointless, that person does not stop arguing.
Mm-hmm.
This is because of his nature arising from Maya. But they want to do Maya arrangement, so then, they just go on. I offer my respects to the great Lord of eternal qualities. Okay, this is a quote. Whose material energy is the cause of agreement and disagreement among those who make philosophies and then argue with others, right? You make a philosophy and then you go argue. Like that, that's the whole. Whose material energy, it means to offer the Lord, whose material energy continually bewilders them as to the real nature of Atma. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31, footnote 26. How do you say this guy's name?
Nietzsche.
So you say the E. So he's German.
Yes.
He is, okay. Not that we're making a connection between German and Nietzsche.
Or not.
In Bengali, Nietzsche means low.
Right. As,
you know, down. Yeah, so that would be... Bengalis would get a good laugh out of this guy. Nietzsche.
Hindi, it means like lower person.
Nietzsche. Yeah. Yeah, Nietzsche. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, here the Chandala says this. Who? You know, Nietzsche.
Scary accurate, actually. Yeah.
Nietzsche says in this connection in Beyond Good and Evil, suppose truth is a woman, what then? Wouldn't have we not a good reason to suspect that all philosophers, insofar as they were dogmatists, had a poor understanding of woman, that the dreadful seriousness and awkward pushiness with which they have so far habitually approached truth are clumsily and inappropriate ways to win over a woman. It is clear that truth did not allow herself to be won over, and all forms of dogmatism are nowadays standing there dismayed and disheartened, if they are standing at all. Okay. So this is the point. They just sit there and argue with each other, and they're trying to get to truth. And so if he just says, if truth is a woman, how they're going to, by this argument, win over this woman. So they just sit there, argue with each other, and they end up, they don't get any truth. And, you know, like that. So dismayed and disheartened, if not, if they are standing at all. It just throws that in just to harass. Yeah. So they catch something, but they just don't know beyond. That's the thing. They can see what's happening within the material and sometimes analyze it very nicely, but they don't know what to do with it. It doesn't actually add to their self-realization. It's a good thought. It's thought-provoking, but you can't... They can't apply it into the spiritual. So. Moreover, though they have attained a path to achieve me after many births, they fall from that path. Those who know the path to attain me, after understanding the meaning of the scriptures, take to arguing, have their intelligence turned away from me, para vrita diyam, who look upon my devotees and know others with mercy, swalokat. My lokas are not eager for arguments. Oh, look on, upon my devotees and know others with mercy. They make their life successful by thinking of me only and not about argumentation. It is hinted that one should not waste one's life by inquiry about truth in the world through arguments. Okay. Those who know the path to attain me, after understanding the meaning of the scriptures, take the argument, have their intelligence turned away from me.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. Verses 35 to 56, changing bodies. Sri Uddhava said, O Supreme Master, the intelligence of those dedicated to fruitive activities is certainly deviated from you. Please explain to me how such persons accept superior and inferior bodies by their materialistic activities and then give up such bodies. O Govinda, this topic is very difficult for foolish persons to understand, being cheated by illusion in this world. They generally do not become aware of these facts. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. If their minds are diverted from you, then they become bound by karma. Then they accept and give up higher or lower bodies. Explain how the materialists are born and die. fools cannot understand this. What more can be said? Krishna suggests. But there are many wise people in the world. You should ask them, not me. To which Uddhava responds, bewildered by your maya, people do not know. Footnote 27. Deluded by the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me. From above the modes and inexhaustible. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Okay, so that's what Krishna is talking about here. Lord Krishna said, the material mind of men is shaped by the reactions of fruitive work, along with the five senses. It travels from one material body to another. The spirit soul, although different from the mind, this mind follows it. The mind, bound to the reactions of fruit of work, always meditates on the objects of the senses, both those that are seen in this world and those that are heard of from Vedic authority. Right? So, you know, what they've seen here in this world, and then what is beyond in the heavenly planets, or, you know, or Satyaloka and any of those. They just hear about them. Consequently, the mind appears to come into being and to suffer annihilation along with its objects of perception, and thus its ability to distinguish past and future is lost. When the living entity passes from the present body to the next body, which is created by his own karma, he becomes absorbed in the pleasurable and painful situations of the new body and completely forgets the experience of the previous body. This total forgetfulness of one's previous material identity, which comes about for one reason or another, is called death. Right? So when you forget your... it's called death.
That's the symptom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you tell.
But to remember means life.
Yeah. Means this material life.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. Some to bring out this point of life, then they always talk about remembering. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, because then you have this particular life, because if you forget, then you just merge into all the other lives, right? So that's what makes one's life different, is because of that remembrance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the jiva always follows the subtle body when it separates from the gross body at death, and joins another gross body at birth. The mind, dependent on karma, meditates on objects seen, which arrive at arrangements of karma, such as others' wives.
Random example.
Or it meditates on things heard, such as swarga. For a moment, the mind identifies with that object of meditation, then withdraws from that object, right? So that's the meaning of it. It goes, and so therefore you forget. After that, anu, awareness of past and future, smriti, is destroyed. Right. So you put it into an object. When you withdraw it from the object, then you forget about it. So those things that you maintain as the memory, then those are the ones that go on. You maintain that, what do you call it? That vasana, that form. And those ones that you give up, then you don't remember. Right? Because it's not there in the memory. Mm-hmm. Sri Krishna continued, O most charitable Uddhava, what is called birth is simply a person's total identification with a new body. One accepts the new body just as one completely accepts the experience of a dream or fantasy as reality. Just as the person experiencing a dream or daydream does not remember his previous dreams or daydreams, a person situated in his present body, although having existed prior to it, thinks that he has only recently come into being. Right? Because you're only seeing the dream body or the fantasy body. You completely forget about everything else. right? You're there in the math class looking out the window, you know, all kinds of things going through your head. You forget you're in the math class. So that means that body you forget, and you only remember, you know, whatever is the astral body that's outside the window.
And the teacher asks you a question.
Yeah, that somehow or another brings this stark reality back into it. Then there's death, right? Because then you have to, you know, you have to leave that what do you call it? Ethereal body, and then you have to come back into this body, and then you get confused because you thought death meant you forget all this and are not there, but then there's the teacher right there. Yeah. But maybe that means because then he's Yamaraj, Lord of Death. And so and so now you forget about all the... Well, I guess you say it's death because you forgot about the previous body. Right? And remember this body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a common position with math teachers?
Or German teachers. I think those are mainly...
What about German math teachers?
Oh.
That must be the toughest there is.
This is like the fifth cantor or something.
And this is 26 hells here. And the 27th here, what does it say? German math teacher. Yeah, so that. Yeah, where are you taking me now? To the German math team? Can we go back up and toss me off the mountain a few more times?
That sounds great.
Yeah, that's let's avoid this math teacher here. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The example is given, just as the jiva in his present body does not remember his previous gross body, so the jiva involved in the present dream or fantasy does not remember a previous dream or fantasy. Sometimes someone called Jati Smara can remember his previous body, but this is not a rule for everyone. Moreover, the jiva situated in his present body thinks himself to be only in the present, even though he did exist before. I am 6 years old. I am 7 years old. This recollection of the previous I is destroyed. He is aware of himself only at the present moment. Right? So that means he forgets about it. He thinks that only now he's recently come into being. Right? But actually he's been there forever. So. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, because the mind, which is the resting place of the senses, has created the identification with a new body, the threefold material variety of high, middle, and low class appears as if present within the reality of the soul. Thus the self creates external and internal duality, just as a man might give birth to a bad son. Okay, so by creating the modes, you create all these high, middle, and low. Right, because everything always comes in those three because of the modes. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse summarizes the topic. By the creation of the body, which is the shelter of the senses, the three states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep appear in the jiva. These states cause differences externally and internally. The external differences are the qualities perceived by the senses, like the ear. The internal differences are differences perceived in the mind during dreaming state and intelligence during deep sleep. Okay, so the mind's more active in the dreaming, and so the that's why it says sleep is part of the intelligence. But it's only the intelligence is nourished when there's deep sleep, not dreams. That's the mind gets enlightened.
Yeah, yeah.
These states are just like a father producing a bad son. The example is suitable since the three types of differences created by senses, mind, and intelligence are inauspicious for the jiva. Okay, so waking is the senses, dreaming is the mind, and deep sleep is the intelligence. So in other words, if you're smart, you'll be in deep sleep. But not, you know, I guess that's what it means for the sage. What he calls night, the others call day, and like that. Now, if philosophy could come up from this about, you know, sleeping and how it's, yeah. But in any case, it says they're all inauspicious for the jiva, so no use making a philosophy.
Don't even try.
Yeah, don't even try.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.